For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Matt Moderno, no jihadi today. Just going to do another quick one for you here. Here are the kind of wing, well, we talked about the wings already. Here are the forwards that I would like the Wizards to keep an eye on with sort of the 51st pick and beyond kind of time frame, honestly. So obviously the Wizards have the 26th pick at the end of the first round. So these are the guys probably available starting, you know, in the next tier below that kind of pick. The first guy on this list that we'll talk about here today is maybe somebody they could consider at 26. You know, maybe they won't. But most of these guys are sort of second round through undrafted caliber guys that I think will make an impact beyond sort of their general draft position. For me, this draft has a decent amount of guys, as I explained on the episode about wings, just that are still able to impact, you know, winning at a level and kind of be additional talent added to this roster. It's kind of interesting to see who the Wizards have added with their two-way contracts. They haven't minded taking older guys that are ready to kind of help, you know, push the rest of the team now and provide some, you know, impactful presence and short options that maybe could stick around longer term. Eugene Amarui, Jared Butler, these weren't like, you know, young, risky upside guys. They were solid veteran-ish dudes already that were a little older given how, you know, recently they'd been drafted, but could still, you know, kind of come in and be ready to go from day one and actually contribute in some way, shape, or form. Their ceilings may not be the highest, but that's okay. And that's kind of the mold of guys I've continued to look at here with this list. So we're going to get into it here in a second. But first, we're brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas, Hard Lemonades. All the flavors are delicious. It's like 100 degrees out already. So they all are going to, you know, quench your thirst here and help us get ready for draft night. As well, also brought to you by Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. The NBA playoffs will probably be over by the time you listen to this, assuming Boston can actually close this thing out, but you never know. But you can bet on that if you want to. You can bet on the WNBA, anything you want to think of this summer. Get the latest stats, news, and scores available for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, matchup reports, player props, odds, just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Do us a favor, if you're listening to this and you like this idea, these little short, quick, burstier episodes where we get out, you know, a couple prospects to keep an eye on, click that like button for us. That's the sign that, hey, we're doing a good job and you guys have liked the content and, you know, means we should keep doing them. So if nobody likes them, it means we probably won't keep doing them. So if you like it, click that button for us. We appreciate it. As a reminder, on draft night, the 26th, we'll be doing a live draft show for the first round. And we'll do kind of a charity fundraiser component of that again, too. Going to try to do the MS Society Wizards radio broadcaster Dave Johnson, one of the nicest people out there, suffers from MS and raises money for the MS Society as well. So he's actually got me in touch with one of his points of contact there. So I'm going to try to iron that out here shortly before the draft. And you can find details on our social media about how to get involved in that. So anybody, again, who wants to raise money for a good cause and continue, you know, contribute to the draft fund here, it's a nice way for us as a Wizards community to give back to something that matters. And Dave is somebody that gives so much to this Wizards community. So hopefully we can show him a little love here in the process. Okay, with that, let's get to a couple of sleeper forwards. These are guys that are likely to go in the second round. Rookie Scale has their consensus mock draft. And these are guys that were rated, you know, 30 and beyond, but most of them, obviously probably closer to that not drafted range. So I think these are guys that I feel good will kind of exceed expectations for them based on where they're drafted. So the first name I've mentioned on the show here before is Ryan Dunn out of Virginia. He's a 6 foot seven and a half forward. He'll be 21 and a half on draft night. The consensus ranking for him is 31. So he's like almost cheating in first round territory here. So maybe not quite like a fair guy to talk about as this underrated prospect, because he could very easily find himself in the first round if somebody buys into potential offensive upside for him. He averaged 8 points per game this year, 7 rebounds, less than one assist, about 1.3 steals, 2.3 blocks. So he's your stocks guy. Everybody loves good stocks guy. And only 20% from three. He took one attempt per game and 53% from free throw line. So this shot is broken. And you're probably listening to that and you're like, all right, those are like backup center numbers, 8 points and 7 rebounds and 2.5 blocks. Like, why would we take this guy as a forward? Well, he's probably the best defender in the draft for my money. I think this is the guy that like his entire highlight reel could be defensive stuff. And I would just sit there and watch it and be enthralled. So normally that's not like the sexiest thing out there is like, oh, this guy gets in a really good defensive stance, but Ryan Dunn can guard 1 through 4, like very effectively. And, you know, there's been some stuff out there in high school. He was actually a pretty good shooter. He grew a lot and his jump shots kind of gotten wonky since then. So if you buy that he can kind of put all those things together, he's got great like instincts. And I feel like those kind of guys understand basketball enough that they can usually find ways to be impactful offensively, even if they can't shoot it. He needs to at least be like a serviceable corner, a 3-point shooter, like picture like Herb Jones kind of contribution, except he's not like the passer or creator that Herb is. But also, it wouldn't be the first time that we've seen somebody in this Virginia offense just like, I don't know, look like shit, because they just don't run like clean, cohesive, fluid offense. And I think that could also be part of what's holding him back too. If you're drafting him, you're drafting him for the defense and you believe there's just enough offensive upside there, you know, that you could make the case for it. Realistically, his offensive profile is like a rim running center at this point. I think, you know, he'll be good as a roller. If you did some pick and roll stuff with him, he's a good cutter, good transition finisher, but it's the defense. Like he could lock down pretty much anybody. And if he somehow slips, you know, into the second round a little bit, I'm the Wizards, maybe I can attach another second round pick to move up from 51 to go get him. He fits in exactly with the defensive identity that I think they want to try to establish under Brian Keefe. Like you see Denny's going to stick around. Bilal Coulibaly was their first pick last year. This is clearly something that matters to them. And I think he's a piece. So somebody to consider here, again, just really, really good defense. And sometimes that's fun. And as a Wizards fan and anyone listening to this can probably relate, I've just watched so many bad defenders for the last, I don't know, 30 years of watching Wizards basketball that I'd be nice to see them just like target a few guys that are defense first. So we'll see. This next guy, Keyshawn Johnson out of Arizona. He's 6'7.5". On draft night, he'll be about 23 years old. He's 55 on that consensus mock draft I mentioned over at rookie scale. This past year, Keyshawn averaged 11.5 points, about 6 rebounds, about 2 assists, 1 steal, and a little less than 1 block. He shot 39% from three and 71% from the free throw line. He spent 4 years at San Diego State before this. So Keyshawn Johnson is one of those guys that was like a physical, athletic, dirty work player for San Diego State. If you watch them play, they made a Final Four run a couple of years ago and they just sort of like beat people up on the boards, got on the offensive glass, like just would like grind you down. And I think Keyshawn brings that kind of vibe to him. And you just need like some dirty work guys, even a team that's tanking and not trying to win. Like, I think that's infectious. And if you got one guy sort of diving on the floor for loose balls and, you know, willing to like bury you on the boards like that, that's something that other guys sort of like pick up and can run with him. He's a switchable defender. I mentioned that Ryan Dunn is probably the guy before this that, you know, could best guard 1 through 4 of anyone in the draft. Keyshawn might actually be able to guard 1 through 5 situationally, you know, depending on, he's not guarding like Joel Embiid effectively, but who does? He's not guarding John Morant effectively, but who does? But like serviceably, anyone that has a chance of guarding 1 through 5, he might be the dude that's best suited to do that, honestly. He's like really good on ball. He's smart off ball. but he's, you know, 23 years old. He's a 6'7", basically. It's kind of small ball big. That's going to be a common theme with a couple of these guys we mentioned here. And there's just not much he's going to do for you, like, offensively. He's going to hit some corner threes, hopefully. And I don't know, we mentioned this on the Wings episode. You get a little nervous anytime a guy makes, like, a big step forward as a shooter in their fifth year of college basketball after being, like, mostly a non-shooter. That's kind of the case with Keyshawn. Like, we saw him get a lot better at the end of his career. So it's just, has he just gotten comfortable here? Or is there, like, real shooting progression that'll translate to an NBA three-point line? That's really going to be the question. But yeah, again, Arizona's Keyshawn Johnson. Again, I mentioned in the last episode, there's a lot of West Coast flavor to some of these names. And these are guys that I just think are slept on, partly because people don't see them as much. And maybe I have a little bit of West Coast bias selfishly because I just watch more of those kind of late night games. So we'll see how it shakes out a couple years down the road.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This next person, Tristan Annarunna. If you followed, like, high school recruiting, he was a pretty, you know, reasonably high recruit. He started off at Kansas, spent two sort of unremarkable years there before spending one equally unremarkable year at Iowa State. And then his last 2 years at Cleveland State. So Annarunna is about 6'8¼". He's probably the closest on this list to, like, a wing, I would say, because he has more ball skills than the rest of these guys. He'll be almost 23 on draft night, like 22.9 years on draft night. He's consensus undrafted on that mock right now. I could see a team maybe taking him somewhere in the 50s. He kind of reminds me of, like, mid-major Kyle Kuzma. Like, he averaged 19.6 points, 6.5 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 1.2 steals, about one block, about two turnovers a game. Shot 32.2% from three, 72% from the free throw line. Not ideal. The stroke looks really smooth. I think a lot of times he took bad shots too, just because he just did. I mean, like, the good and bad parallels to Kuzma are kind of there. Shot selection a little iffy. He was kind of the key offensive hub for the Cleveland State team. And that's probably, I don't know, he was out over his skis, let's say, at certain points this year. But for a 6'8" guy, he's got, like, a little wiggle to him as a ball handler. I went to the Portsmouth Invitational this year, as anyone who listens to the show probably remembers. And he was the most intriguing guy there to me. And actually, the next two guys on this list were also there at Portsmouth. But, you know, 6'8", small forward, power forward hybrids. That's a valuable archetype. And this is one of those things, like, in the modern NBA, you want your four to be able to potentially stretch it, which I think he'll eventually, you know, kind of build into. And he can put it on the floor. He can guard multiple positions. Like, I just got a little, like, shit to him too. Like, there's a little swagger there. I kind of dig watching him play. And it's a smooth thing that I think you could just see him, like, translating. And again, if you take him at 51 or you pick him up on a two-way and he doesn't work out, like, there's literally no harm, no foul. But I think he's just kind of a late bloomer, and I think he built some confidence at Cleveland State. So we'll just see if he can continue to add to those things. And especially if you've still got Kyle Kuzma on the roster, like, who better to, you know, to learn from than that kind of guy. The reason why he's probably, you know, as far down the boards as he is one, he's older at about 23 years old. He was bad at 3 years at the Power Five level. So are the stats we saw from him at Cleveland State real? That's a valid question, I think. The three-point percentage, the free throw percentage, they don't say, you know, knockdown shooter. Again, it looks really clean to me. I don't see an issue. I mean, it's not like the best-looking jump shot I've ever seen, but I don't watch it and think broken. It's not Ryan Dunn like we talked about at the beginning. Like, he should be a serviceable, you know, floor spacer, and we'll see what that looks like. The next guy at this list, again, is also at Portsmouth, Enrique Freeman out of Akron. He's 6'7.5". He'll be almost 24 years old on draft night, 23.8. Another consensus kind of undrafted level guy. This year at Akron, he averaged 18.6 points per game, 12.9 rebounds per game, which actually led Division I basketball, 1.6 assists, 0.8 steals, 1.7 blocks. He shot 37% from three, albeit on 1.5 attempts per game, and 73% from the free throw line. I think there's enough touch there to buy that he could at least be like a capable open corner three-point shooter. And that's probably all you need from a guy like this. This is like the hustle glue guy type of dude that you want. Again, he's an elite rebounder. He's like the nose for the ball kind of guy. And he just finds a way to make plays with effort and energy. Not overly flashy, but again, just productive. He puts stats on the stat sheet. And I think you need a couple of these guys. Like, this is the Eugene Amari conversation of like undersized guys, a little older, probably don't get drafted. And then they hang around for a couple contracts in the league. And you're like, oh, okay, why did we all miss on him? Well, you know, he's basically a 6'7" small ball big, and he's not flashy. He's not overly skilled, but he's just going to sort of like bludgeon you to death with like effort. And that's really good. And so helps it push a team in practice a lot too, to have a couple of these guys that, you know, are fighting for that guaranteed contract. So this is actually kind of a smart move from the front office to have at least one of these kind of guys on a two-way. Now that Amaruri's on a real contract, who could be kind of the next older guy that's hungry to hang around, and it's just going to like make everybody else work harder. He's also got like really good defensive upside. Enrique Freeman's got a 7'2" wingspan. He's really good laterally. Having a mobile guy like that that can guard a couple different positions, I think, is valuable. So why is Freeman not in the draftable range, considering what an elite rebounder he is? Again, he's older, mostly a non-shooter for his career. Talked about this earlier, of guys that don't really shoot till the end of their careers. It doesn't always seem to translate. That 73% free throw marker is sort of the low end of what you'd want to see for a guy like him. So is a wing-sized guy really going to be able to play in the front court? That's the question. And can he add enough ball skills to justify playing on the perimeter at all? You know, we'll see. But again, this is the no risk, reasonable enough reward. Even if it's no risk, low reward, it's still sort of worth considering at that point in the draft. And the last guy is Washington State's Isaac Jones. He's 6'8". He'll be also 23.8 years old on draft night and likely to go undrafted. Isaac Jones averaged 15.3 points, 7.6 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 0.5 steals, 1.1 blocks, 1.9 turnovers. He shot 7% from three this year. He's 14 total attempts, though. So I think he went 1 for 14 on the year from three. Not ideal. 71% free throw shooter. Has decent enough touch around the rim, so maybe that's something he could add to his game. But similarly to Enrique, this is just like a dude who's going to like just hustle himself into some amount of productivity. Pretty low ceiling guy, more of like a small ball 5e type. But, you know, a lot of these teams have one of those kind of guys that fit in situationally. And can one of these kind of guys, you know, turn into even like a Grant Williams type of like stretch four, essentially, if they can just hit enough corner threes and guard multiple dudes and be kind of burlier forward types? I think it'd be interesting to kind of consider with him. So, you know, we'll really see if any of them turn into anything. But Isaac Jones is that guy that you watch him play and you're just sort of unimpressed. And then at the end of the game, you look down, it's like, oh, his team won and he had 14-7 or 15-8 or 15-6, you know, whatever the case may be. He just sort of did it. I think on the draft episode I did with Ryan Hammer, Ryan mentioned that he saw him play a game at Wyoming where he was prior to transferring to Washington State. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like, oh shit, this guy has 25 points and 20 rebounds. Like, where did that come from? So again, Isaac Jones, kind of an older, undersized, big non-shooter, not much perimeter skills, not the best off-ball defender, pretty darn good on ball, I'd say right now. So you know, is this limited upside guy kind of worth picking up? Again, I think on a two-way, he'd be a no-brainer. And at the very least, I think an underrated thing is just having like competent contributors on your G League team. Because some of these like higher upside, you know, prospects, they need people to push them as well. And they'll also look better playing with like productive guys and make that context a little easier for them. And they don't have to do everything or try too much. So any of these guys, even if they're just sort of flyers on a two-way, if one of them pans out, I think then, you know, you've kind of, you know, done better than probably anybody would have expected with them to do with the 51st pick and beyond or a two-way contract for an undrafted guy. So again, these are the names. Start off with Ryan Dunn from Virginia. Then we talked next about Keyshawn Johnson from Arizona, Tristan Enaruna from Cleveland State, Enrique Freeman from Akron, and Isaac Jones from Washington State. Again, if you like these episodes, click the little like button for us. You can always subscribe. We'll keep throwing a couple of these up. We try to, you know, put the show up pretty regularly at the end of the work week here, but these little smaller time capsule episodes here will just go up whenever they're available, and we'll try to space them out here for a little bit for you. So hit the notification button if you want to know when these are going live, and we'll try to make them as available for you. If there are other names you guys want me to talk about that, you know, I haven't talked about, let me know. I'm obviously going to do a guards one and a center one here too. So if they fit under that name of like second round picks that are guys I want to take a flyer on or would want the Wizards to take a flyer on, I'll fit them in there. But I could also talk about your kind of prospect too. So just hit me up in DMs or email the show at believeinwizards@gmail.com. We'll see if we can talk about, you know, your favorite guy as well. As always, we're presented by betonline.ag. Feel free to leave us an iTunes review. We always love that stuff. But until then, we'll catch y'all next time.
Who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.